February 5th, 2020. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. Sounded pretty good that time.
Yeah, the, I like that.
Yeah, the open there. I was kind of, I was worried that wouldn't play the way I wanted it to. I thought it was going to take a little too long into the year to get used to that. Eric, living a better life, for me, there's the epitome of the better life in a lot of ways is the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is what helped inspire this show because it is an event that occurs every year in which the way that sports bettors view that 3 hours, 4 hours of entertainment is so wildly different than people who do not bet on sports.
It's true.
We think about like the major betting events, right? You have the NFL just by the season. You have March Madness, right? You can throw October and baseball in there. You know, things that we just get excited about betting about. Mm-hmm. There is nothing quite like the slate of bets. And this goes back before legalization and everything, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
There is nothing like the slate of bets that you can make regarding the Super Bowl. And to recall the genesis of this podcast, I was watching the New England Philadelphia Super Bowl, and I was at a friend's house, and people who were familiar with me thought it was amusing that I had these wagers and were like cheering them on with me, right? They're like, oh, Giselle was on the screen, because I had Giselle over appearances. And the people who were less familiar with me was like, you can bet on this stuff? Who would bet on this stuff? And today, when I was walking around work, someone who knows that I bet was like, "Hey, man, how'd you fare?" And I was like, "Hey, did great." I was talking to another coworker about the national anthem and how you can bet on it. And someone was like, "Oh, you can? I mean, betting on the national anthem? What kind of?" And I was like, "You know what? To be honest, with the intel that we had, betting the national anthem was probably a safer bet than betting the side." You can make a case that there was a stronger case to be made on betting the national anthem under than there was on betting either the 49ers or the Chiefs. So
based upon the price. Yeah, sure.
Right. So betting the Super Bowl, very much to me, is living the better life. We're going to go through a handful of the bets that we talked about last time, our own experiences, and then we'll move on. But can't not do this part of the episode because just with everything, man, like the commercials hit, and I'm like, come on, Bud Light, let's go. And I'm pretty sure Bud Light was the first one. That actually hasn't been graded yet where I got it, but pretty sure it was Bud Light. Clock in the national anthem, saw that she had a mic stand. Even the bets that I don't have, just being aware of them, you're like, oh, there's a bet on that. Oh, that's going to affect something, right? First kickoff touchback. I knew a lot of people who had that. Wasn't, right? They start the game with a loss. It's the Super Bowl is so wild. Everything.
Well, the coin flip even before you start the game.
Yeah,
right?
The coin flip.
Like you could still be in pregame technically, right? They haven't kicked off yet.
Anyways, let's go through some of them. Last time you and I loved the Goodell prop. Will Goodell be shown on the broadcast? We bet it around -400. Is that right? Around there?
493.
Okay. -493. Well, closer to -500. Okay. And I think, yeah. And then I saw it close north of 750. So hard to believe you can get ahead of a line like that.
we're geniuses.
Yeah. Man, what a sharp bet that was.
Yeah.
But it cashed. Gave you a little bit of a sweat, though, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, so it was a double sweat. Because Goodell didn't show up on the screen until much later in the game, and went to bed expecting it to grade and pay. And throughout the day today, today's February 3rd, we're recording, it had not graded until the afternoon. And when I went to look at the actual ticket on Bookmaker, it says on there, NFL Super Bowl 54, will Roger Goodell be shown during broadcast? Yes, -493. And then underneath it, it says game start February 3rd, 2020. The game was February 2nd.
Yeah.
So I was actually concerned that because they had misdated the event, that it might actually void the bet.
Sure.
So I had sent a message.
That is a very bookmaker thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had sent over a message through customer service, and they said, no, it just hasn't been graded yet. But until it actually hit my account, yeah, I was – you know, not that it was a huge bet, but, you know, I had $493 out there that on a technicality, I don't know, February 3rd. Wouldn't that be something if they were like, the date is the rule, not the game?
Right.
And because we didn't see Roger Goodell on February 3rd, it's actually it's actually a losing bet.
That'd be wild.
Right, like a no action because of the mistake would have bothered me. But if they somehow found a way to grade it a loser because, you know, Goodell wasn't on the third, I wouldn't have liked that one much at all.
Yeah. What else? So I'm still seeing on the – so Joe Montana, we liked him being mentioned first over Steve Young and Jerry Rice. Those have been graded. And I don't know – to be honest, I actually wasn't paying attention enough to know if it would have cashed or not. And then Bud Light also hasn't been of the Anheuser-Busch products. I'm pretty sure Bud Light was first, but I still haven't seen it graded. So the military one that cashed like immediately. I mean, like every time you turn around, there was a there was some sort of military. How about my boy Kyle Carpenter though in that opener, huh?
I am unfamiliar.
They had that opening video. That began with Medal of Honor recipient Kyle Carpenter doing a little monologue, walking amongst flags and such.
I didn't see it.
Oh, very well. That was well done.
I may have been getting a beer at the time.
Very good. I'm trying to think. We didn't – oh, yeah, Trump tweeted. That cashed.
He sure did.
Yeah, I liked that. He cashed. I'm trying to think. There was one other one that you know what was really – so living the better life means having a serious conversation, because people were legitimately having this conversation on Twitter about what was considered cleavage. Did you see this?
I am familiar, yes.
Yeah, right. So
I believe you actually tweeted me to ask if there was sufficient cleavage.
Yeah. I watched professional bettors – on Twitter, go back and forth on how the cleavage prop bets were going to get graded based off of the outfits worn by Shakira and Jennifer Lopez during the halftime show. And I don't – it was pretty amusing, because there was the fun conversation that all of us were having about the halftime show. And then there's this conversation that a bunch of degenerates are having about whether or not their cleavage props are gonna cash. Oh man, what a life!
Yeah, what a life. You know, there's one more prop that I guess is discussion worthy.
Okay.
The Pat Mahomes rushing yards prop.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, the good people over at VSiN will remind you that it's not under until it's over.
That is right.
Apparently, it's not over until it's over either.
I have lost one wager this way that I can think of. I had a receiving yards wager. I can't remember who it was for, but I remember it happening where they had just gone 1 yard over, and then towards the end of the game, screen pass for like a 3 yard loss. And then it lost. I had the over, and then I lost because they took the tackle for a loss and went under. I mean, he, like, 15 yards. I mean, it's pretty significant, right? Patrick Mahomes kneels for 15 yards and goes under. Talk about a bet you, like, have no business winning if you have that under, right? But it happened.
Absolutely happened. And, you know, a lot of times when things like this happen, you know, maybe it's a bad football play. I mean, he was taking as much time off the clock as he could. I don't think, from a football standpoint, I don't think he did anything wrong. I don't think losing the yards was really problematic. If you didn't have money on it, you know, who cares? But if you had that over, you know, you thought you were more than set, and Pat Mahomes took it from you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I, you know, it was funny because I remember this being a popular prop bet among, from a lot of people with, was this under Patrick Mahomes rushing yards. And every time he ran, I was like, I don't think they're going to get there. Like, I think this guy is going to be more mobile than we gave him credit for. And, not something I had action on, but, definitely, again, one of those things that as he's doing this, right? The average fan is like, oh, he's killing time. Bettors are like, he is killing that over prop.
Sure did.
The one prop bet that got juiced that didn't cash that I thought was absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes sports bettors get a little too cute in their analysis. When the purple Gatorade got juiced because people thought that it might somehow be some ode to Kobe Bryant. I'm sorry. I don't know if anybody was able to confirm or deny what the color of the 49ers Gatorade was, even though that's not the color that would have mattered. But maybe I guess the California team would have, but you're not honoring Kobe Bryant by making your Gatorade purple. I don't know. That juice was weird to me. I didn't get that one. But it was orange, I think. I think orange cashed. But anyways, Super Bowl is always fun. How'd you do? I had Chiefs heavy. Never in doubt, as my friend Gil Alexander would say. No, I was a little worried. The Chiefs got there. That was nice. You had the under, right?
Yep, the under. I had the under. The under held up. And you know, some money on the Roger Goodell prop. That was all my action.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I took under 52.5 early, live. Probably, I think it was 10-3 when I took that. I liked it was such a slow start, and I was like, even if they pick this up, I still kind of like my chances. So I took under 52.5. So that also got there. Anyways, football is over. March Madness, right? That's the next thing. That's what we're, you know, that's the next.
Are you discounting the XFL?
Yes. Absolutely. So I had this talk with people coming in, talk with someone else walking into work. Like, I'll watch it, right? DC has a team. I might go see a game if I can. But, like, I think for part of the reason why that other foot was the AAL or AFFA, whatever that one was. The reason why I think these don't work is, like, I'm kind of ready to be done with football, right? I know it sounds weird to say that, but, like, I'm ready to start being excited for the other sports that I enjoy. And unless you're a mega sports fan where all you do outside of whatever your 9-to-5 is pay attention, like, consume sports, it's an opportunity cost to watch one sport over the other or try to pay attention to one. You know, so I'm ready to start turning on basketball. I'm ready for baseball to be right around the corner. I'm ready for these things. So I'm sure I will find the XFL maybe amusing if I decide to watch it. I might watch a local game, but I can't see it entertaining me enough to take precedence over paying attention to what's going on with hoops or baseball.
And I, on the other hand, follow football and baseball on a whole other level, and basketball to a lesser degree, and hockey not until the playoffs.
Sure.
So to me, I mean, this is, it's something. I don't know if it'll be any good or not, or if I'll care for it, but I'm gonna give it a try. And it's listed. I mean, you can bet on it. So
So I think maybe during the month of February, right, when like, – because I'm not going to start paying attention to basketball until March, right? Or not paying attention, but like I'm not really going to start getting into it until March. So maybe during February. Anyways, we'll see.
They have my attention until pitchers and catchers report.
Bet. So they have 9 days.
It's about right.
Before we get off the Super Bowl real quick, you in the little rundown you sent me, greatest halftime show in my lifetime. Was that two live and neither held up to this one. Twitter complaints, I didn't press two for Spanish.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was a clever tweet.
Yes.
I didn't write down who it was and I don't remember. I'll give you credit for clever response, but that was the best halftime show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like by far.
Yeah, the performance was amazing. It was very good. We've come a long way from Justin Timberlake exposing Janet Jackson's boob.
And, here's the thing. Like, I generally don't care for the halftime show.
Yeah.
And if you were to tell me, I don't know, maybe at any point in my life, I believe Shakira's 42.
43.
43, and yep. J-Lo is 50.
That's right.
And they put on a show like that, that in my opinion was not only entertaining, but like tastefully done so as to not be over the top as some people are complaining. Like that was something, man.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely had my attention, and halftime shows generally don't do that.
You had wondered about the PI call on Kittle when Rudolph had a similar push off in his game that was not called.
So that's the specific situation. The greater, I guess, topic that needs to be discussed. I don't think anybody understands what PI is. And I don't think anybody understands what a catch is. And I don't think we should be betting on games where we don't even understand what these things are.
Yep. It's actually one of the things that has made betting, and to put that through a sports betting lens, something you have to consider when you're betting on prop bets, right? When you're looking at yardage and receptions and stuff like that, how does this inconsistency play into that? And I believe that it has played into unders, because when there's pass interference that isn't called, usually, I mean, unless it's offensive pass interference that isn't called, usually results into a reception, right? But defensive pass interference that isn't called usually means the catch wasn't there. Offensive pass interference that is called means that the catch is negated. And defensive pass interference that is called means that the ball advances to that location, therefore shortening the amount of field in which that same receiver can then get any more yardage, right? So in those four scenarios of either side being the offender and whether or not it gets called, three of those four scenarios means that like lends itself to an under, which has been very much why this year I have been looking for under opportunities far more often than over opportunities, especially on yardage.
You should have tailed me.
On Kittle?
No, on the under for the game.
Oh, no, I'm talking about prop bet.
So
I'm talking specifically about prop bet unders, right? So if you have under 70 yards for George Kittle, well, right, hit that got negated there. Let's say it was a defensive pass interference. Well, now the yardage gets gained, but Kittle doesn't get any end of the yards from stats, right? And he now only has 30 yards on that drive to possibly get, right? That's in assuming that they throw to him. So That's one of the reasons why I was looking at under prop bets far more often than overs. But you always have to consider both. Okay, Super Bowl is over. Thank you much for everybody for getting through that. But like I said, it is like one of my favorite times of the year from sports betting, not because of the betting necessarily, but because of the way that I experience the game. It's just so different than any other sporting event in the year. All right, let's talk about the casino trip that we took on Saturday. First of all, it was really nice to see you, man. I was glad we did that.
The pleasure was mine, Tim.
Yeah, it was. So let's... first of all, thank you to the people that showed up, that came out, hung out and played some Pai Gow with us. I didn't throw any dice. I made one bet in craps. Other than that, I think Pai Gow is all that I played. Did you play anything else other than Pai Gow?
Nope.
No. Okay. We had this at Horseshoe Baltimore. And for people who, for a reminder of the, for those who are unfamiliar with betting, with gambling in Maryland, a handful of things to know about it. There's no comped alcohol, which is, you know, when you're up here on the Eastern Seaboard in the Mid-Atlantic, you know, it's, you don't have to go very far north for that to, for alcohol to be comped, right? So to, for Maryland to not comp alcohol, it's pretty, pretty frustrating. It was a Saturday evening, and the craps tables, when I got there at 4. When I got there, the craps tables were $25. And at first, I was like, who does Horseshoe think they are? Like, $25? But they were full. I couldn't, like, that's the thing. Like, there were two full tables. I was like, I guess, like, I...
It's a craps area. I mean, it is definitely a very prevalent thing.
It absolutely is. Like, I tell people, like, oh, you know, what's the craps like? When I tell people that MGM National Harbors are expensive, I'm like, yeah, it's difficult to get a table that's less than 25. You have to go on, like, a Thursday, Wednesday morning, you know, if you want to find a $15 table. And even that, 11 o'clock switches over. I've been at MGM National Harbor on a Saturday over a holiday weekend, and all of their tables were open. Two of them were $25. The rest of them were $50, and they were packed. So as frustrating as it is to not be able to get on a craps table that is of an affordable price, I can't blame them.
No,
right?
You would do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely I would. Now, they have I have not been at Horseshoe Baltimore, I think, for a couple years. I don't think I went there at all in 2019, so it's been since 2018 since I've stepped inside of Horseshoe Baltimore.
Was it that long ago that we had that first meetup there?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Okay, well, then that was the last time I was there, too.
Yeah, I think it was 2018. Because you weren't on the show yet, right?
I don't remember.
I don't think you were.
Well, it was that long ago that I don't remember. Fair enough.
So you were on the show at the beginning of 2019, and I don't think you had been on the show yet. Or you weren't, like, a co-host yet.
Okay, continue.
Anyways, they had a... So I don't know when they did this, but compared to the last time I was there, which was a while ago, a whole new... like front area, like the kiosks and the total awards desk and everything, brand new, looked like they were copying MGM National Harbor. In fact, the kiosks were the same manufacturer, same interface as MGM National Harbor. They had something when you got in line to talk to, because I needed to reset my PIN. And so when you get in line, there was actually someone there, like, as you're waiting, like, similar to a lot of places, you know, now where you get in line for customer service, someone with, like, an iPad or a tablet will come up to you and ask you what you're in line for and try to help you right there. They even had, like, a guy like that. I was very impressed with that. Walked around, but it's the same Horseshoe Baltimore in a lot of the ways that we know Horseshoe Baltimore to be. But we were able to find a Pai Gow table for $25. We first went to the Diamond Lounge. No one was screening people, right? Usually you have to, like, prove that you're allowed to be in the Diamond Lounge.
I didn't swipe. I just walked in.
Yeah, I just walked in, too. No one challenged me. The guy behind the bar seemed to not care. So We convened there.
It's a lot easier to not care when they don't even comp alcohol in there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right?
I mean, it's a reduced price, to be fair, but you're paying for whatever you're getting there.
Yep. Met Carl there. Met Mr. Schlegel, his father there. Nice to meet him. And then we wandered over to some Pai Gow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as content creators, and I know that the other podcasters in the space that are listening are nodding, are going to nod their head when I say this. Whenever you go to a casino, whenever you get into some sort of gambling endeavor, you always think, there's always like a hope that there's going to be some sort of some content-friendly experience, right? I mean, there was nothing from that session of Pai Gow, and I probably played at least 2.5 hours over the course of the night. Nothing notable. Did anything happen? Did you see or experience anything that's like worth mentioning?
It wasn't necessarily gaming related, but the one dealer, and you may have been away from the table at this time.
Okay.
He just wouldn't shut up. I mean, he was just talking nonstop. Now, I'm looking for a pleasant experience, and I'm looking for maybe a little banter, but it was diarrhea of the mouth for, I don't know, 45 minutes. Like, I couldn't wait until the relief came.
Yeah.
Because he just, you know, things that because he once lived an hour from where I live, apparently we're bonding, and he wanted to talk about neighborhoods in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It was a bit much.
What I found funny about that conversation was he was like trying to tell you how to get home. And I'm like, what do you do? Like, he knows how to get home. Oh yeah, no, you need to get off on 8. 8 A. Yeah. And you're like, yeah. And you're like, yeah, it was like, I know. I'd be like, oh, thanks. This is my first time ever leaving the house. I was wondering how I was going to get back. This reminds me of two things I was going to bring up. So he touched a player at the table that wasn't a high five or a fist bump. He was talking to a couple had sat down. I think this was before anybody had gotten there. It was before I went and found Carl. This couple sits down, probably like in their 40s, and the guy's, he's got some guns, right? Works out. And he's talking to the wife about something, or the woman, it could be married, could have been dating, whatever. And he makes a comment about muscles and like leans over and like pats the guy's muscles. I kind of found that inappropriate.
I mean, it's Baltimore. Yeah, who knows what they do there?
Yeah, don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? I've had dealers like hold up their fist, inviting a fist bump. Right? I'm fine with that. Boom, let's celebrate. Heck yeah! Don't touch me. These chips are gross enough. And you've touched. I don't know how many chips you've been touching. I found that to be a little odd that he just I could see the look on the guy's face, like, why did the dealer just lean over and touch me? The other thing that, and it's the same dealer you're talking about, the one thing that he did for hours, every time, he had a theory about, do you remember the Gamble Palooza, the first Gamble Palooza, how I was annoyed by the blackjack dealer?
Sure.
Four is the biggest bust, whatever. This guy's thing was knowing or predicting or whatever how the hand was going to go based on the deal point on the table, right? So in Pai Gow, traditionally there's the dice, they roll the dice and that decides who gets the first hand dealt to them. But now they just use like the digital, you know, digital counter or whatever. And so he'd hit it, and it would be like 3, and he's like, oh, 3, this is bad for the player. But he did it every single time. And like, if he would have been like kind of right or been a little bit more generic, whatever, he kind of stuck to his guns and then sometimes varied. Like, I think at least twice one spot was good for the player, and then like eventually then it was bad, and then he was wrong both times, and that was getting annoying as well.
We were a group of people that typically tip dealers well, and we were not tipping.
No, I forgot. I noticed that as well. And when I noticed that I wasn't tipping, I almost got embarrassed because I was like, oh shit, because I'm among tippers. And I looked at the table and realized, oh shit, no one else is tipping.
No, he detracted from the experience.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Nothing else really notable in Pai Gow. One thing that they added to this place, and so this was new. They had an area called the Terrace, and it was a built outside area that was walled off enough to make it sort of seem like a separate room, but there was enough openings for it to be considered like an outdoor area. And smoking was allowed over there, and boy, was it fucking smoky.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. You've got – so it's a non-smoking casino.
Yeah.
And they built a smoking area, and they've got tables, and they've got slot machines, and I would assume I saw some video poker. I'm not – I wouldn't swear to it, but I think so. And because it's outside, there was a lot of cigar smokers in there, and there were people vaping with the, you know, the big plumes of smoke. Yeah, there was an awful lot of smoke. We did a real quick like walk through and then walked right back out. I mean, I'm glad they put it in. You know, these places that are all non-smoking, I guess they can be kind of limiting for some.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a place I wanted to be.
Yeah. I had gone through there. I walked through there when I first got there, and I don't think I spent any more time in there than you and I did when we walked around. Like, I just did the same thing. Walked around, was like, oh, okay, and walked out. And the craps table in there was actually $15. It was full, but had I even found a spot, I don't think I would have bothered to play. No.
I mean, maybe I was in there for a minute and a half, and I reeked like smoke afterwards.
Sure.
Which, sure. And I'm not one who complains about smoke, but it was considerable in there.
Yeah. Okay. Let me pull this back up.
We did have, so you had called in for You Can Bet on That a ways back, and mentioned to them that Horseshoe Baltimore spreads a $30 minimum blackjack game. And lo and behold, that was there. That was my first time ever seeing a $30 minimum blackjack game.
Yep. And the color, the hue, if you will, was like a light blue. But what I mean by that, right, is like you can spot like a green light from across the table or across the room and know that table's a $25 minimum, right?
Right.
Usually when you see yellow, that's 10. Red's 5, right? A normal blue is usually 50, black 100, right? We all know these. It was like a light blue was the hue that was coming off of the color. But yeah, I'd never seen that. I wonder what the point of that is.
I don't get it.
Maybe it makes a 3-2 easier to chop up. Does kind of.
It sure, but I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I'd rather see it be a 50 minimum than a 30.
Yeah, it's fair. And as you and I were walking around, after we were done, we played, we walked around, we were pointing out all the advancements that were made, and we were talking about. So it takes me about an hour to get there. National Harbor is literally 10 minutes away. It takes me about an hour to get to the Horseshoe Baltimore Maryland Live area. Takes me about an hour 20 to get to Charlestown, West Virginia. And I see, like, it's, I don't know, there's nothing about that property that makes me, like, want to go back. The only benefit that going there would have would be to I don't know, inject some sort of play into the Caesars reward system to then possibly get comps or benefits at other properties for a trip later on.
Yeah, I don't know why I would go back either, if not to meet up with you and the Schlegels and anybody else who comes out that's from that area.
Yeah.
And it's a nice casino. I'm not shitting on the casino at all. It's actually a very nice place. But if you don't comp drinks, it changes the whole dynamic of the experience. And I'm really not a huge drinker, you know, other than the stories that I've told about Vegas, which, you know, could have gotten a little out of hand. Generally, I'll just have a couple. I'm not getting drunk. But to sit down and play Pai Gow and not get drinks.
Yeah.
You know, now your upside is a push.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you said it's like an hour for you. It was over 3 hours for me.
Yeah.
There's no reasonable reason for me to want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the next time we do one of these, if we did it in this area, we might do – because while we were there, a couple of people mentioned Maryland Live, and I was like, huh, maybe we should try Maryland Live. Might do one of these in Chester, Pennsylvania, at the Harris there.
That would – what's that, 2 hours for each of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about, that makes sense.
Just a tick over 2 hours. Drinks are comp. There's sports betting there. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go the extra hour to enjoy that much more of what makes gambling fun.
Yeah, just don't try walking to the hotel again.
No. Eric was referring to the one time that I've been – well, not the one time, but the first time that I was at Harris, Philadelphia in Chester. I got a hotel maybe a mile away, and I walked to the casino. And as I'm walking, there was no altercation. I didn't get any sort of wasn't accosted or anything. I didn't really – no even like close call or anything. But you could just sense I probably shouldn't be walking back. So I caught an Uber back to the hotel. And, yeah, I will not be making that mistake again.
It's a little rough over there.
A little rough over there.
Mm-hmm. It's right next to the state penitentiary for, you know – those uninitiated.
Right. I am trying to pull up to see if I... oh, here we go. So it's been... I mean, it probably hasn't been long enough. But I'm curious if there's any improvements to my... So here's the thing. I slept on the Beau Rivage. Friday night's no longer available. So... yeah. I got too cute. I waited on that Beau Rivage booking, and I actually opened it up when I yesterday, because I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna do Beau Rivage." Holy smokes, Harris is $169. Harris Gulf Coast is $169, the 17th and the 18th.
Wow.
I'll sleep on the fucking sidewalk on Friday night and then just get a room at Beau Rivage on Saturday night if I have to. Anyhow, I might have to get clever on that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of options. I'm sure one of them will work out for you. You're not going to be on the sidewalk.
I will not be on the sidewalk, but I had the opportunity to get I slept on it cuz I was like, "Oh, let me see if putting a little play at a Caesars property head fakes their promos, and I don't think it's going to. Okay, it is tax season. People are getting their what do you call it? Win-loss reports,
mm-hmm.
WTGs, stuff like that. It's actually kind of interesting to see the coin in on at a property. It's something I never really. Until I started playing video poker on a regular basis over at MGM Nassau Harbor, that I've really can you how much coin in do you think I had at MGM in 2019? How much coin in? I play the dollar jacks or better.
Yeah, I don't know how often you go, but I'm going to guess.
You hear about it. It's just each time I go. Yeah,
right, but I don't know yeah, how fair. Long you're there for. Maybe 70,000.
That's really impressive. 67,000.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should buy a lotto ticket, too, while I'm at it.
You should. That's the only win loss thing that's worth looking. I should see maybe here is or not here is maybe Hollywood Charleston maybe interesting in looking at. But you mentioned something about FanDuel. Tell us about that.
So a friend of mine called me up and he said, I guess I have to start with a disclosure. I'm not giving any tax or financial advice. This is just sharing a story. Consult a tax professional or your own financial advisor. To steal the Tony Snyder line where he says, I'm a lawyer, I'm not your lawyer. I'm a financial advisor, not your financial advisor, unless I am, in which case let's talk separately.
in which case I am.
So a buddy of mine called me up, and he got a rather large 1099 from FanDuel. He had won a contest. It was a daily fantasy contest, and he actually won a couple, but the amount of buy-ins that he's made over the course of the year, he is a net loser. And he called me up upset because he's working with a tax professional who said that he could not deduct any of the losses against his winnings. And his tax professional is absolutely correct. 1099s are received for winning a contest, not for gambling. And you are not able to write down or take any deductions against that. That 1099 is income, and there's nothing you can do about it. So he was a net loser for the year, but that doesn't really matter. And he had to pay, full income taxes on the 1099 received. W-2Gs may be treated differently depending on how you file, but not 1099s. And he could not write off gambling losses or other contest payments against it. And as the taxation of gambling has changed, you really need to think about that, because I will tell you for sure, I have changed things that I do and a lot of things I won't do anymore just because you might wind up losing and still having to pay taxes on what shows to be a win but is a net loss. I think we talk about that a little bit every year, but every year it gets a little bit more complex.
Yeah.
And I was wondering how the sports betting promotional money would be handled. So I'm going to stay tuned. But if they were going to 1099, that should have been out by now.
Yeah. So here's a conversation I'd like to start, and then we can decide at the end of it if it's something we want to include or not. At the beginning of the year, we talked about a change in our gambling habits, right?
Sure.
Frequency to casinos, how much we get involved with rewards programs, etc. People heard it. They know what I'm talking about. So I'm curious, we got to Harrah's and you, or not Harrah's, the Hollywood, Horseshoe, goodness. I was like, it's one of those H word, we got to Horseshoe and you were like, yeah, other than this, I haven't been to a casino. This wasn't a casino trip to really base your feelings on, but I am curious, after sitting around playing some Pai Gow, chatting with friends, like, how did it make you feel?
I mean, it was nice to see the people.
Yeah.
All right. So gambling used to be, in many ways, a part-time job.
Right.
Right. So the comp hustle allows you to play games that you like and then You know, some people are looking for cash in hand money. I was more interested or most willing to do things to get lifestyle trips and things of that nature that would make me still friendly to the casino, but I would feel like I got my money's worth and, you know, there was a tangible value afterwards, whether I won or lost.
Right.
I've changed that, and there was nothing to be gained from this trip other than to see people that I don't get to see very often. I'm perfectly comfortable going to the casino to meet with people. I didn't play at a high level whatsoever, and I was happy to leave when it was done. It doesn't do for me what it used to do for me. And the amount of time, energy, and effort that would need to go into making it profitable, it's not something that I want to do going forward. So for it to be a every once in a while kind of a thing, sure, it was a good time, no problem. Yeah. But the, like, I didn't spend any time scouting. Like, it just, it's not worth it. You can spend hours and hours trying to find a slight edge or a way where a program can be either manipulated or at least you can gain more benefit than they had planned from it. But for me in 2020 and I guess going forward, I'm not going to do the work anymore. So if you're not going to do the work, you can't expect the rewards. And I'm not going to ask other people to do work for me to benefit from. So it's just something that I do far less often. Now, I mentioned to Kyle, you know, it was February, what was it, February 1st when we were there. Like, I was at zero tier credits.
Yeah.
So I guess to an average gambler who doesn't go regularly, for there to be a month without activity, that really isn't discussion worthy. But for me, where Total Rewards or now Caesar's Rewards was, you know, where I did quite a bit of what I was doing, for there to be a month of no activity. And it's not only a month of no activity, because there were lots of things in the fourth quarter that would have moved over to post January 1. And I had nothing in the fourth quarter of last year. So it's fine. It's just not worth it to me anymore. And there was no, I want to be clear, there was no like big loss or anything where you say, man, like, I can't believe I did that. It's just that, yeah, over time priorities change.
Yeah.
And, you know, they keep squeezing a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And it just isn't worth it to me on the same level that it used to be. So that's it.
So I have a couple more questions.
Sure.
So one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up, because I find the evolution of anybody's interests fascinating, right? Because, you know, you and I have talked off record and off air about, diminishing returns and stuff like that. And I myself have just actually, I was big in the women's sports and I created content for that. I've actually just given up all of that recently because I just don't have time for it. And I'm just not into it, into the community as much as I was. Mm-hmm. As we were playing, I was reminded of a conversation we had here on the show early on in your, so probably about a year ago, maybe it was even just before you became the co-host, you were talking about how this is just what you do. And this is just like, and how you really haven't enjoyed much in life the same way that you've enjoyed this stuff. And I'm curious as to, with this new assessment of this hobby and this new approach, how, like, you know, what that statement would be now.
Wow. Okay.
Getting deep, Eric!
You were getting really deep. I think what defines us are our obligations.
our obligations are in many ways what we choose to allow to become our obligations. And they take on more of a role. And the older that I get and the more experienced that I am, I'm just focusing on what's important to me. And I don't have something to replace it that is this like happy place that some people refer to. I just don't have that. That's okay. But it stopped delivering the value I was looking for as my kids got older, and there's just more places that I have to be that are more important than a casino.
Yeah.
Right. So whether it is family or it's work or any number of things, it just kind of fell down the priority list, and probably rightfully so. And to operate the way that I was operating, frankly, it required a lot of time.
Yep.
And I don't think I will be on my deathbed wishing I spent more time in the casino.
Word.
Right? So if I view all of this through that lens, you know, it is who I am, right? That hasn't changed, but we all have obligations, and that's what makes us who we are. And I have to focus on that. And I say that without any animosity or sure. begrudging. It's just, you know, life changes, and we have to be able to adapt with it, whether you're a gambler or not.
Look, these are... Most people who are into gambling have probably gone through stretches of their lives where they just didn't gamble much, right? I mean, I can think of a few pockets of time where I like remembered that sports betting was a thing that I could do, right? Okay. Like, uh-huh. you know, like, and you know, and at least one of them, it was, you know, I took a hit and I was like, can't do that anymore, right? And then, you know, life corrects itself and you're just like, oh, that's, you know, that's right. There's this thing over here. The only reason why it seems more when you start becoming not that we're public figures, but I'm going to use that word for this scenario. When you become a member of a community, when you become a leader in a community, that's how I'll put this. When you become a leader in a community, the evolution of your interests and the stage of life becomes more glaring, right? Like the if you weren't doing this show,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't having this change wouldn't really mean much, right? I mean, it would mean something, right? But am I making sense with this?
Yeah, it's amplified a little bit in that there are.
I guess the question is, do you feel like you're more aware of this change because of who you are in this community? And or do you think that this has been such a big part of your life that you would have noticed the change would be just as stark regardless?
Yeah, I don't think being a member of the community or being even a voice within the community makes it that big of a difference, other than the fact that the magnifying glass is put on when you try to do a weekly show talking about gambling and you yourself are not gambling as much as you used to. Right. So there was that weekly reminder, and, you know, your past only carries you for so long. And it's entirely possible that changes would have been made probably earlier had it sure. not been for this show or for VC. You can enjoy things and enjoy them in, I guess, more moderation. Without feeling like you should be somewhere, not that I owe it to anybody. anybody to be anywhere, but you feel like you should participate in certain things, or at least I did. And, you know, it gets to a certain point where you have to say, no, that's not what I'm going to do. So regardless of what the reviews will tell you, there's no need for it necessarily in my life. And the one that specifically mentioned my children, they're a higher priority than anything that we're talking about here today. Yeah. So, you know, it gets noticed by others that otherwise it probably wouldn't, but that's about all there is to it.
Sure. You mentioned that it takes time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is something that that makes recreational gambling difficult, is no one likes walking into the casino and putting $100 into the video poker machine, free falling and realizing they're done and have to walk out. Right.
Sure.
And of course, to most people, losing the money is the part that was the bad part. To gamblers, the short amount of time of doing something you enjoy is actually the part that's disappointing. It is a time commitment, right? One, you have to commute, right, to wherever you're going, whether it's 20 minutes or an hour, or, you know, an hour and 20 minutes. There's the round trip cost. There's the you get there and the tables you want to play on's full, or it's too expensive, or your luck was bad early. And I mean, I know that I have when I have really long sessions that go well, I'm like, man, I probably could have done something else with my time. And then when I have really short sessions that didn't go very well, I'm like, man, like coming here was a waste of time, right? Like, didn't get an opportunity to enjoy it. I think it's where gambling trips are so attractive, is it's this built out time that you budget. There's nothing else competing. You're scheduled this time for gambling, that makes it so appealing. But, I think the time investment into betting, no matter what stakes, is sort of an underrepresented part of what's at stake when you are into this hobby.
Well, especially if you're going to try to do it intelligently.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. So I don't care what your action is, whether it's casino or it's sports betting. To be knowledgeable in something requires a fair amount of time. And, you know, you brought up a good point, right? Like, I'm looking forward to this trip in April. And this trip in April, like, the time is blocked off. I'm going to spend time with people that I enjoy. I'm going to play games that I enjoy. And it's not going to be about what you can get out of it, because I probably won't return to Biloxi anytime soon.
Right.
Right? So it really is just as pure of a recreational trip as I've probably ever had. You know, I'll give credit to Michael Traeger, who taught me along the way. A lot of times, less is more.
Yeah.
Right. So rather than go, you know, I was going weekly. Rather than going weekly with a moderate bankroll, well, once a quarter with a substantial bankroll and the time to do what you want and to not have to worry about the constant, you know, back and forth of travel time, things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's probably better, and you can enjoy it more knowing that the time and the bankroll has been budgeted for, and, you know, all of the things that we like to do on these trips, they make it special. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean I enjoy the action any less, but probably by limiting my exposure to it, I can enjoy the opportunities that I have more.
Yeah. So I guess – so my last question, and this will be a nice segue out of this. So then you said you're looking forward to this trip in April, but you've also admitted to, you know, to how what you're getting out of gambling has just changed. Are you – when it comes to April – Is there any part of the gaming aspect that you're looking forward to? Like, do you still look forward to the act of gambling, like playing these games?
Sometimes, some of them. You know, this this trip in particular, there are I'm looking forward to spending time with certain people. Right. And what do what do I do with these people? How do I know them? Right. So
you throw dice with them. That's what you do.
That's pretty much what I do.
Yeah.
Right. So whether it's you or it's Mark and Mike or it's Adam, even Adam, you know, with the exception of the trip to Canada at the Pygau table, like I usually it's at a craps table.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, but I'm not going to the casino on my own to play craps.
Right.
Right. So is the game part of the entertainment? Absolutely. But without the people, the game just isn't enough. Not for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you on that. I think there's that has definitely been a big change in 2019 in my enjoyment of the games. Is that going by myself, I've been more selective and I've been pickier about, you know, what exactly I want to do. And if what I want to do isn't there, I don't settle. That whole conversation, I find all this fascinating, right? This is human life, right?
Sure.
The human experience of relationships and hobbies and, like you said, stages of life with obligations, right? Yeah.
And that's what this show is about, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
So I appreciate you indulging the conversation, Eric.
I said something to you on Saturday that wasn't true.
Okay.
I wasn't lying, but upon reflection, I think it wasn't true. You said to me, "Are you a gambler?" And I said, well, I guess at this point I'm one who gambles, but I don't know that I'm a gambler. I think you either have it in you or you don't.
Yeah.
So I think I'm a gambler, but I'm a gambler who has reprioritized what is important in his life.
It's a character trait is really what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know what, in every aspect of my life, I'm willing to take risk for a greater reward.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just choosing to reallocate that risk in other areas for greater rewards. That's all.
Yep. So as people are listening to this and they're worrying like, oh my goodness, they're going to like, what's happening now? No, this is an evolution of the better life, right? Like like living the life as a gambler, as a better, there's ebbs and flows. And okay. There's a trip happening in April. And some guy who does a podcast on moving about the world gave it a name. Great. It has a name. I hope everybody's happy.
it's a clever name.
Yeah.
It's a clever – listen, he's a clever guy. I'm gonna give him credit. He's a clever guy. It's a clever name. I'm still going to go there to hang out with my friends, and if you want to join us, come on.
Word. We will be there the 17th, the 19th, and yeah, there's nothing else. I guess that's the point. Nothing else has changed. There's a cute graphic with a name. That's as much as changed. TheBetterLife.us. Someone, Mark, actually pointed out to me that the latest episode feature on the website has been stuck at episode 83. I'm aware I had a script that refreshed that every week, and that has ceased to work. And I'm trying to get it to work again to where it'll just fill in 84 through the current episode. But I'm fearing that if I get it to work, it's going to skip those and just go to the and just post the recent one, or that I'll have to possibly refresh the entire bring in all those. Anyways, I'm trying to get that figured out. So I'm aware that that's not working quite right. But the betterlife.us/merch is where you can cop some shirts. Drink and Push, officially a collector's item, Eric.
It's about time.
It's about time. The last one was purchased. We were discussing, who was I? I was discussing with Terry about some Pie Gal. I think it was with Terry. With some other Pie Gal t-shirts. I'm thinking of one of, like, I suffer from Pie Gal amnesia or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So new Pie Gal design possibly coming down the way. But I drink and throw, I throw things. The Better Life, keep calm and throw a dice. There's definitely, so the crowd, and use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show on a monthly basis with a pledge of $2 or more. Appreciate everybody who pledges over there. Thank you to, we've got a recent pledger. Let me get his name. David. Thank you, David. The book club, I have been looking for, I think the logic of sports betting is going to be the next one. So we had Chris Andrews, Then One Day, which was a sports betting theme, but it wasn't really on the, it really wasn't about, like the how-to, so I figured having at least one book that kind of gets into, not how-to, but sort of explains certain things and might be good. So the Logic Sports Betting likely to be this quarter's book for the Better Life Book Club. Eric, I think I'm on Twitter at The Better Life. You're on Twitter at erosenthal1029. If you want to follow me and not the show, I'm at Timothy J. Lawson. Eric, do we have anything else?
Yeah, I want to say thank you. A bunch of the listeners went on and left reviews after we discussed it on the last episode. And they were very, very kind and a lot of very nice things said. And I just want to thank everybody who took the time out of their day to do that. It did mean a lot to me, actually.
Yeah, that was nice. Eric, it's been a pleasure.
The pleasure's always mine, Tim.
It's always yours.
It's always mine.
So we'll be back the week of the 19th. And we're going to talk some player reward stuff. We're going to do some high level view of player rewards because, this is still something I want to extract as much as I can out of that brain of yours, for our benefit. So, we'll do that. Eric, it's really a pleasure talking to you, man.
Likewise.
Sorry, I meant to say it was really good talking to you, but pleasure, when I think about you, I just think of pleasure. On behalf of Eric Rosenthal, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night. Good luck.